I'm going to start with Erica Pinkston. JJ had just got hired on staff, and we were actually living with Denise Britton and her family, and they took us to Peterson's Ice Cream. And they're like, we'll for sure run into Emmanuel people. If you've never been to Peterson's Ice Cream, you should go. It's in Clifton. It's wonderful. And sure enough, the Pinkstons were there, and Erica made a joke about, she said, oh, just wait till my Bodie gets into youth group. And she was right, because Bodie is quite a handful, but they have become dear friends and are wonderful. And so it's really fun because we've gotten to watch their kids grow up through youth group and now in high school, and it's really great. The second one is Sarah, and it was actually her daughter, Sydney. And JJ, my husband, is the middle school youth director, and he is not good with names. So just first and foremost, not good with names, and then specifically girl names, he's not very good with. Which is maybe okay, because there's like 150 kids. But he came home and he was talking about some of the girls, and he was like, if we're gonna have anyone watch our kids, I want it to be Sydney Scott. And if you've ever met her daughter, Sydney, she is just a wonderful, awesome, godly young woman, and that's who you want your kids to look up to. So I know you'll have great advice when it comes to that. And then Vicky, where are you sitting? Right in front of me. We met via email the first time, and she emailed me asking me to be a table leader, but it was an awesome email because I had turned down a different position, and she's like, hey, I know you already said no to serving, but I think that you could still serve. It's just a little less in this role. And I just appreciate your encouragement, and I'm really thankful because it ended up serving in a whole bunch of ways, and I got to be table leader coordinator after Vicky a couple years later. So please welcome up Erica, Sarah, and Vicky. Yay. So we're just going to start off, they'll each introduce themselves and just kind of speak to where, how many kids you have and where they are school-wise right now. And you could even say where they've been in regards to school, because that has changed for all of you.
So my name is Vicky Luck, and I have three kids. They are ages 10, 7, and 5. My oldest has now officially done all three schooling options that we're going to be talking about this evening. She has done public school, she has done homeschool, and she's currently in private school here. And my middle child did one year of homeschool, and then he is here at school. And my youngest will be starting kindergarten here next year.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I have Sydney, who's a junior in public school. She started off kindergarten in Griffiths County, and so we all started in public school, or all of my kids started public school until COVID, and then COVID just kind of flipped everything upside down. She stayed in public school. Sophia is in eighth grade, and she's in homeschool, and Will is in seventh grade homeschool, and Priscilla's fourth grade homeschool. She got a whole year and a half of public school. But she, Priscilla, she still claims it.
So I'm Erica. I'm the one with the kid who is crazy. I have four children, and the oldest one is actually in college. She's at Belmont. She's a junior nursing student. She was homeschooled almost the whole way through. 2 years she did out of Emmanuel. And then my second daughter, Aiden, is about to graduate from public school, but she has also done homeschool and gone to Emmanuel. She thought at one point our strategy was every other year. She was really confused for a while. And then my son Bodie, the aforementioned terror. Just kidding, he's a great kid. He is in ninth grade, and he's done everything as well. In fact, he was in public school the first part of this year, and we've just transitioned him to come back to homeschool. So just to encourage you that no choice you make is permanent. Right? You can change really at any time. And then my fourth daughter, I have three girls and one boy, is also homeschooled. She's in eighth grade, and she's done everything as well.
That's awesome. Yeah. I guess I'll.
Thank you for that. And what's funny, each of the different speakers was concerned that we picked them, that we did, they each have dabbled in each of the categories, which is why we have picked them, because it just speaks to this next question, which was, what does the decision-making process for education look like for your family, both starting and then now? And Sarah, maybe you'll speak to this first because of your background in education.
So my background is I taught first grade in Fairfax County Public Schools, and I was a reading recovery teacher. So I also, in addition to working with first graders, I worked with at-risk first graders who were very low on all the reading comprehension and reading skills. So if you have questions, we can talk about that later. It's always a hot topic. I also went to Fairfax County Public Schools, so I have a heart for public school, and my husband did, and we really, that was kind of our goal. We like briefly thought about Emmanuel because it was familiar and safe, and I did cry at kindergarten orientation with my oldest. So, but it honestly wasn't an option for us at that time financially, and so we were like, this is kind of where we feel the Lord leading us. So that's how we started out at public school. And all of our kids started off that way, and we really enjoyed it in the elementary years. It was great. I feel like I'm getting off track. I think the decision-making process in the beginning was more of you look at your options. And we did briefly look at homeschooling because we had a few friends homeschooling, and I was like, I just can't do it. And I was familiar with public school, and again, we felt kind of like that was where God was leading us. That's kind of where our heart was. So that's how we started off.
Yeah.
So, do you want me to keep talking about how we switched?
You can
currently.
Sure.
So then COVID hit. I mean, this is, that was 9 years later, I think, is maybe when COVID. So fast forward, Sydney is in eighth grade. We had one in fifth grade, fourth grade, and first grade. COVID hit, and the older two did fine online, and so we're trucking. And then the younger two, Will probably could have done fine online, but he heard the teachers and the powers that be said grading was optional that first grade. And he was like, I'm gonna take a path of least resistance, so this is optional. So I was like, yeah, online's not working so well for him. And my youngest was in first grade, and she just could not, she could do the concepts, but she couldn't manipulate the computer. So, and the jobs that I had a couple part-time jobs that were childcare, working, watching some neighbor kids before and after school. Well, that all stopped during COVID. So I suddenly was unemployed for, unofficially unemployed, and have a teaching degree, and online work learning is not working. So I'm like, maybe this is God telling us next year we should try homeschooling. So we did, we kept the three younger kids for homeschool because they would have all been in elementary school. And so rather than dealing with two in homeschool, one in elementary school, and then one in high school, we kept the three elementary school as homeschoolers and did that together. My high schooler did fine online. She's very independent and was strong in her faith, and so she was pretty good, I felt like, at her public school. And she was, the schools were online that year anyway, so we're like, we'll just let her roll with it, because the thought of like jumping into homeschooling with four kids and then trying to figure out high school homeschooling, that still intimidates me, but it definitely intimidated me. And I was like, we're just gonna keep with that, because nothing's been completely horrible yet. So that's kind of how that decision started. Our goal, my husband was like, you can't do any worse than public school online right now. Like, this is the low bar. He's like, we can do this. So I would recommend starting with a low bar. Low bar. Yeah, so every year we just reevaluate. We pray a lot. Pray for wisdom. We have a lot of friends praying for us and family members praying for us. It's like our constant prayer request every week at Bible study. Wisdom in parenting, wisdom in homeschooling, wisdom in school decisions. Because each kid is different, and some kids have taken to homeschooling way better than others. You know, in the same day, I can hear from one child, please don't ever make me go back to a school. And the other child will be like, when can I leave the house? So
we hear it all.
But so it changes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess going back to the original decision making, probably 2 years before our oldest was even ready to go to school, my husband and I started having a lot of conversations about what we thought we wanted to do. And I also was I'm a proud Fairfax County K through 12 graduate. And so that was where I wanted our kids to go. And my husband had a very different background in schooling, but he was very much on board. And so we were on the same page, and we had talked about it, we had prayed about it, and that was our plan. And things were going great until COVID hit. after things got up and running online and it was not going well, and my husband spent 1 hour helping our first reader on the computer do school, he came downstairs looking exhausted, and I said to him, if this keeps up, I think I'm gonna look at homeschooling next year. And he said, I think that's a really good idea. So then the next year, that was when we decided to do homeschool. And I am very thankful for that opportunity, and I'll share more thoughts on that later. Kind of as the year progressed, my daughter expressed a lot of just desire to be back in a classroom. And so that was then when we started talking and praying more about what is school gonna look like now? Where are we going? Our original plans had clearly changed. And so I was like, I think we should just apply here and see what happens. We might not even get in and the doors are closed. We got in, and so many different doors opened. And so that was kind of how we ended up here, is we just felt that God opened doors for us to be here. And the one other thing I would circle back on is kind of in our original conversation, my husband and I, when we were talking about our school decision, we made a point to not talk a lot to our friends about it. While I think a lot of advice from family and friends can be very well-intentioned, schooling options can be very strong, and I almost felt like there was a lot of peer pressure in my decision. And so we really kept it to my husband and with the Lord. You know, once you've kind of made a decision and you want advice or you have questions, there's so many resources, and people are fantastic. But in making that decision, we did really feel it was important that it was something that we made in our home, and you know, even grandparents. we really didn't ask a lot of their opinions in that matter.
Yeah,
that's great advice. really, really good. So when we were first thinking about schooling, I think I always thought I would do early years homeschool, then transition to private school, and then transition to public school. And the only reason I thought that was because I saw an aunt of mine had done that, and I just thought it was really cool. They kind of experienced the best of all those worlds. And so in some senses, we've done all three, but not in that nice progressive way. Yeah, I think when my oldest was young, I did feel some pressure actually from friends who really wanted to homeschool, and I did have the desire to try it out, I guess you could say. But and my husband was actually really on board with homeschooling, really kind of wanted us to do that. So we did do that, and then as we went on, it really became really a year by year decision. I have friends who, you know, they've made sort of a a bigger decision, commitment to one thing or another for whatever reason, and that's great because they do have a consistency and they have sort of like a mission that they kind of can go forward with. And for us, it just, because we have four really different kids and our situations, you know, life circumstances and stuff would change. It just, and I'm probably a really indecisive person. That's probably fun, some of it too. So yeah, it's like, I think both of you said, pray a lot. Like, Lord, what do you want me to do? Just show me what you want me to do. And, but also, I think all of us would say, like, it's okay, take a breath. And because God is not surprised by anything, right? And you could start the year one way and then things could change, you know? I mean, people move all the time. I mean, especially here. So that's a change. And kids are incredibly adaptable. You know, like I said, we had to switch this year. And because public school was not working for my son. And so, and that was one time that I think both my husband and I felt, we saw the Lord really lay the way, because I was like, I don't think I can have him back home right now. But God opened doors and made a way, and it was clearly like, okay, here's how you can do this, and this is because he was laying on our hearts. I think that was what we needed to do, mm-hmm. and so whatever it is, he'll equip the way, mm-hmm. you know. So if there's something you think that's impossible, I mean, it may be that, you know, you're bent towards something more than another thing, but I would say don't ever say anything's impossible, because mm-hmm. right, because with God, all things are possible, and so just leaving those doors open, and then also asking a lot of questions, and you might get into this later, but you know, questions like, what are my goals for my children? I mean, we all know, you know, train up a child in the way that he should go, and that is one of our key missions as parents, is no matter where our kids go to school, is like, we are called to train them and to teach them, you know, and we might be partnering with schools or something, but so a lot of prayer, and really as your kids, even when they're young, when you already know, even when they're little toddlers and things, you know, you start kind of getting a sense of their personalities and what is it they need, you know. Sometimes it's the opposite of what you think, and you have your introverts and your extroverts and all that. Our introvert was the one I had to send to school first, because she was kind of like getting into this little shell and everything, and she really needed to go out. You know, she needed to sort of be pushed that way. So,
While scripture is very black and white on so many things, and it's very clear and we can understand it, there is no scripture, as far as I am aware, that says you must send your child to private school K through 12 or any of the other options. So what scripture do you look to, and what have you guys used to help guide you in your decision making?
You can do any order.
Okay. I thought this was an amazing question, and I wish that I thought about this. Seriously, I wish I had like a life verse like this. But I thought probably if there was one, it would be Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I mean, that is amazing. You know, like, we don't have to know everything. We don't have to have it all figured out. Trust him and, you know, acknowledge him in the process and in the results, and that, yeah, that kind of sums it up for us.
I was thinking that one too. I also really liked praying through Psalm 90, and especially verses 16 and 17 at the end of the psalm. It says, let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. So to me, it just was like, okay, just confirm that this is the right thing that we're doing, you know. So you want to do God's will, and there's a lot of Bible verses about doing God's will, and he's the good shepherd, and he says, my sheep hear me, and they know my voice, and so he guides us. He wants to guide us, and he will guide us. So if you're walking in your faith and you're just doing your devotions with him, he will guide you. So again, not a specific school verse, but I think just wanting to follow him and be honoring to him in what we do.
To piggyback on both of those, I had put, so Deuteronomy 6:5 is kind of one that my kids know well, and we say as a family, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Verses 6 and 7 continue to say, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And so for me, this verse is just that reminder that no matter what school choice we make, as parents, we need to remember that we need to model and teach this to our kids daily. There is no right or wrong decision in school if we are following the Lord and loving the Lord God with all of our heart.
Those are great. Thank you. Considering the diversity of school choices in our area, how does your family work to ensure your children have relationships and stay in contact with friends in different school settings?
So as I said, all of my kids are here at school right now. My kids spend a lot of time outside playing in our cul-de-sac. We are blessed with some great neighbors. There is a little girl across the street that's about my daughter's age. There's another little girl 2 houses up that's my younger daughter's age, and there's 2 boys in the cul-de-sac, and we spend a lot of time outside playing with them, and so that's great for my kids. They love it. They also do karate and some other sports, and so it's not just the kids from school that they're hanging out with. My son also does trail life here, and that is great. When my kids were in public school, we made Awana here a priority, and that was also great. So there's so many options within the community, within Fairfax, and also here at Emmanuel, that depending on what schooling option you pick, you can almost sort of supplement in a way with the different extracurricular activities.
I would agree to everything. We do sports in the community, just rec league sports, and that's one of the ways. We just came from a volleyball game and the girls won. Yeah, so a lot of rec league sports. It's a great way, especially for my kids that still have friends that are in public school. They can still be with their friends. The other thing is, I was thinking of, is you can try really hard when you switch schools to maintain old friendships, but eventually, like, friendships will change and grow. And but even if you kept your kids in the same schooling situation, K to 12, whether it's private school, public school, or homeschool, their friendships are going to change. They're going to ebb and flow. And one year they're going to be really close to this one little friend, and then the next year they won't be close to them at all. And so part of that is just teaching them to be good friends. And be like, yeah, you guys are on the same sports team and you have the same teacher, so you spend a lot of time, but don't forget, you know, so-and-so who was your best friend last year. And just teaching them how to maintain friendships no matter where they are, and that it's okay if you're not best friends every year. So that's just kind of my 2 cents. Some of the kids that my junior hangs out with now, she never would have hung out with in kindergarten. So, and vice versa, you know, so
yeah,
for what that's worth.
Yeah, it does change a lot. There's, we've had very, very good family friends that we've kind of grown up with, and definitely in the homeschool years, it obviously that lends itself to spending a lot of time, you know, together with other families, because you're either doing co-ops or you just say, hey, let's collaborate on, you know, some little thing. I'm collaborating with Lexi right now on something. And then in the private school years, it's just different, I guess, depending on what age they are in grade. But, I mean, obviously when they're young, you're arranging play dates quite a bit. And so you have a lot more say over, you know, kind of who you get together with. And it's really great family, if your families are. I always just thought that was such a sweet thing. But as they get older, it's a little, you know, you're not arranging their playdates anymore. And so, I mean, I guess
you have a way
to get around fifth grade.
What day is that?
But you know, youth group, obviously, I mean, here with Alyssa, I mean, that's a wonderful thing. Awana, you know, to have those connections and friends through church are a wonderful like thing that can kind of go through a lot of those transitions too. So.
I was sharing with the ladies earlier, JJ and Ashley Rose counted up student ministry a couple months ago to see what the diversity actually is within our 7th and 8th graders, and it's 1/3 evenly divided between public, private, and homeschool. So just to give you an idea of the makeup of our own junior high here at Emmanuel, and it's not like the homeschool kids hang out together in the youth group. It all varies within that, so I think it's a very cool opportunity. And obviously I'm biased because I'm married to the youth guy. But this one is a little harder, and I know you were talking about your pros and cons list, which I super appreciate. And I know the type A folks in here really will like that. What are some of the largest benefits and or drawbacks your family has experienced with homeschooling, private schooling, and or public education?
Okay. Well, it's like, how much time do we have?
The list can go long.
All right, so I'll start with the order in which my oldest kind of has done school. So for public, I loved the opportunity to go in and help at the public school, and just the diversity, and we had, our elementary school only had 2 classes, a grade, and so it was a small elementary school. The class sizes were good. The teachers were fantastic. We had a fantastic experience, and honestly, had COVID not hit and kind of everything changed, I'm not sure we would have ever left. It was great. And so for homeschooling, for the 1 year that we did it, probably the pros that I saw was that you can teach to your child's strengths and weaknesses. If they get a concept, you can move on. You don't have to spend a lot of time on it. And if they don't, then you spend more time on it. It allows for a lot of flexibility in traveling and trips. So if you like to do travel, go on trips and things like that, you can do it when it's not spring break for the rest of the state. And you can have a lot more flexibility in traveling. And so for our family, those were probably the 2 biggest strengths I had. The biggest con was really my daughter, who is more shy and more of an introvert, missed being in school a lot. She actually thrived in being in the classroom, and I had told you, she expressed, you know, a desire to be back in a classroom. So that was something I think she did a lot better with me being her mom and not her teacher. And she would tend to be more needy. And when she's in a classroom, she figures it out and she grows. So that was the pros and cons for us for homeschooling. For private school, again, she loves being in a classroom, so that's a big pro. I love that the teachers here at Emmanuel, I know where their heart is, and it's amazing. And that's probably one of the biggest pros for us is, you know, it's still a school. There's still kids. There's still bad behavior. There's still little sinners. But to know where the teachers are coming from and where their heart is amazing. And the downside of private school would be the cost.
Okay, so for public school, for the benefits, it's just a great way to be involved in your community, to meet your neighbors, people you do life with, the same people you're going to be in the pool with, playing out in the neighborhood, and hopefully you can be a light, a godly influence in their lives. So it's kind of it's just a great outreach in a way. It's also great to meet other Christians in your community and support the Christian teachers. I actually met a lot of other moms who were Christians. There's groups like Moms in Prayer, where we meet once a week and pray for our kids. We pray for all of the kids wherever they go to school, but it's just nice to like meet another Christian and encourage each other. And then it's really nice to meet the Christian teachers and encourage them, because they've got a really hard job in public school, especially these days. So it's just nice to love on them. And some of the Christian teachers we had in our elementary school, and even the few in the high school, I mean, they have just influenced my kids' lives in such great ways. So that's been a great blessing. It leads to great discussion at dinner time with family, because they're with kids that have different opinions. And so we get to talk about, well, what does the Bible say about that? And why do you think they don't believe that? Or do you think they made that decision because they don't even know about the Bible? And just talking about how we, our family standards and what we base our decisions on. And it's kind of nice for kids to learn to stand up for their faith over small issues, like, should I steal a pencil or not? You know, that's them having this little internal conflict, and it's not throwing them in at high school or college, and somebody's like, oh, do I want to do drugs? Do I want to go to that party? I don't know, you know, where it's just this huge life decision. My favorite public school story, at least one of them, is my daughter came home in kindergarten and was like, Mom, you're not going to believe this. They don't know that Christmas is about Jesus. They think it's all about Santa. And I'm like, really? What'd you say? Well, I told them the truth. She'll say it like it is now, but not quite as outgoing. She was just had this like righteous indignation. She was like, they cannot believe this. So it's sweet in that regard. The downside of public school is it's not a biblically based education. So you do have to stay on top of what they're learning. We went to lots of after school meetings of like, let's see, what are the new FLE rules, and what are we teaching? What are the new SOLs, and what are we doing now, just to try and keep up to date. And I, even as a teacher, knowing a lot of what was going on, I still felt like I wasn't up to date, and especially now with what's going on in high school. I get so many emails about all these virtual meetings, and there's just no way staying on top of all of it. So I feel like that's kind of the downside. You don't always know everything they're teaching. As they got into middle school and high school, we were not as impressed with our school situation. We went from a wonderfully sweet little tiny school, similar to what you described, with a few Christian teachers in it, great environment, to the largest school in Virginia. And it's got all of the problems that you can hear on the news and more. And I will say, if you're thinking about public school, if that's one of your things, do research on your school. You obviously live in your community, so you know what you're getting into as far as the other clientele in the school. But also, like, our school is large. It's 7th through 12th. And so that's a big change for girls. I mean, I remember, like, I'm sending my 12-year-old where there are 18-year-old boys in the same school. They do try and keep them separate, but you can only separate so much. And also, it's our particular school has had 4 different principals in the 5 years she's been there. And that affects discipline in the school. It affects hiring, who they're getting to teach. And so we've seen that trickle down behavior. And I'm just sharing this so you know that not all public schools are the same, because I was talking with a girlfriend today whose child is at a different secondary school in Fairfax County, and they have not seen the same issues. So just because one family has a not so great experience in a public school doesn't mean every family is gonna have the same bad experience. So take it with a grain of salt, because I know public schools are getting a bad rap, and a lot of it is rightfully deserved, but not all of it. So just kind of balance, you know, I guess what you're thinking. And like you said, being involved in public schools, how much time you're gonna have to be involved and really make a an imprint on the teachers and the other students' lives. You know, I try and be the mom who's always willing to like go pick them up from school when they miss the bus, or you know, like, yeah, get in my car, let me play the radio for you, you know, let me just overhear everything you're saying.
But lie on the wall.
So there's that for public school. For homeschool, the benefits are we control what they study, and that really is great, especially after, although I'm going to be honest, when we started homeschooling, I printed out Fairfax County Standard of Learning, and that's kind of what we went through with the library. But I could control it. And it does allow for us to choose a biblically based, a solid education, work on their own pace, let our kids explore more if they have, you know, a weird hobby. My seventh grader just discovered magnetic fishing, which when he asked for that for Christmas, he had like a little fishing rod when he was a toddler that had a puzzle. You guys might have that. And this is a huge fishing, huge magnet that he throws in the water, in the ponds, and he just pulls up treasures.
Treasures.
Okay. So there are treasures all over my dining room table. It's totally trash.
Way better than he's
cleaning out the pond. Maybe he categorizes them.
Maybe he can give us your hours for
he
that.
He can tell you exactly what they are. But it's been a great opportunity. He wouldn't be able to do that. So, you know, so you have a little more freedom in your subjects. One of the cons is that you can easily get stuck in your Christian bubble, or you're just in your smaller circle. And I do feel like I have to work harder for my younger kids who are homeschooled, and we go to Christian co-ops, and then they're at church and they're at Awana and at youth group. I have to be intentional to have friends that don't believe the same thing they do, because I want them to be aware of that before they leave our family or our house and are in the real world. You are in a bubble sometimes, and it's a lot of pressure on the primary parent who teaches the homeschooling. That was my husband's con. I was thinking it too, but it's a time commitment, and it is a financial challenge. Like, it's not cheap to homeschool. You can print out the SOLs, and you can get everything from the library, because we did that for a while, but curriculum is not necessarily cheap, so that was a surprise to us. And then, you know, sometimes the kids miss the classroom, like you said, so it can be hard. You have to read each kid and figure out what do the benefits outweigh the cost, and, you know, what works best for that kid that year, too, because it constantly changes. So, that's awesome.
That's good. I mean, so I'll only add things that might be all the things they said, plus. I would add, so I have two kids that have specific learning disabilities, and so private school, specifically Christian private school, is not, depending on the age, like here at Emmanuel, they do have some programs that are targeted to address certain learning disabilities, which are wonderful. They do add to the cost, but it's something. But in general, you're gonna find a lot more services at public school. You can look, trust me, I've done the research, and when you go to specialized schools, it can be $50,000 a year or more for that kind. And so, and a lot of, most of the private schools, and particularly the Christian private schools, it's expensive, and so it would just jack up the price, so they don't tend to be able to do it as much. Obviously with homeschool, that is also a benefit in the sense that you can tailor things, you know, and you can really address some of those things through specialized tutors, or, you know, it's amazing how much you can learn. And so that's one thing also, I would say, is you do not have to be specially trained, at least going in, to address any number of things. You know, it's amazing what the human person is capable of learning when you really have that desire and you, for your kids, you know, you're gonna do that. And so So that gives you the time and maybe some extra fundage when you're homeschooling to do some of those things. And let me think. The only thing I would add to maybe slightly, you know, when they're in school, I guess anything can be clicky. I mean, you go to homeschool co-ops, those can be clicky. And so there's always going to be challenges with friendships and navigating those things, no matter what school environment you're in. I do think, in general, we had a few years where everybody was at home, did homeschool, and they were younger. So, but those were very sweet years because, like I think you mentioned, you know, just the travel, you have so much flexibility. Especially if you're not a type A person and you're okay with, you know, sort of, you know, kind of, you know, just being flexible and going off and traveling if you have that opportunity. And yeah, I mean, you guys mentioned really a lot of them. I'll emphasize, I'll say with homeschool, I mean, it's very real that you are a teacher and you're a mom. And sometimes those roles can blur and not necessarily for the better. And so in fact, that is why sometimes we would send our kids to school, specifically one in particular. And the kids, like you said, I think Vicki, you mentioned that it's your introvert, right? That you sent to school. That's the same with
us.
She's
a dream to the teacher at school.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, I know everybody thinks, oh, I've got an extrovert. You know, extroverts can make friends anywhere. So it's the introverts that if they have too much time in themselves, it can be like a little, I don't know, they need that little push or something. So, yeah, I think you guys pretty much covered most of it.
All right, so our final one, I just want to say I had a lot of I will never do these things as a mom before I had my children, and now having three, and I laugh at the naive Alyssa 4.5 years ago, and still naive, I'm learning every day. But how has God challenged and grown or sharpened you as a mother as you have walked these school age years? And you guys are in a unique position because you all had kids go through the COVID transition, which is a whole different thing that I'm sure we'll look back in 20 years and it'll be like a case study of like, how did they survive? But we know that it was the Lord that sustained each of you, and that was hardships in different areas. But yeah, how has God challenged and sharpened you guys? Oh,
Okay, so wow, it's
funny because as you mentioned, Alyssa, I mean, we all have ideas going in, and God has a sense of humor, and there's always something that it's humbling, you know. And I think that what's so exciting is, you know, the more and more your kids grow, just getting to know them more and more, and like just appreciating who God made them to be, you know, their personalities, their gifts, their talents, you know, their challenges, and stewarding those things as best you can as a mom. And, you know, as you go, you know, when they're young, you're really holding all of it. And then as you get older, you know, more and more, you're kind of like really loosely guiding them. And the older moms in the room, not women, moms, could speak to that even more, but, and it's just, I remember when I first started homeschooling, my goal was, because classical education was like the thing at that point, you know, I still a very popular choice, and I thought, well, it will be so impressive when my four-year-old can recite, you know, the periodic table and know the capitals of every country, and we're gonna totally like show people how education should be better. And hilarious, you know. And then of course that was one of my kids that, you know, struggled to read, and it was like really hard and painful for both of us. And so I mean, it's like anything in life, God uses those things to grow you and often it's the hard things, and where you really cling to him and his word and the promises there. And but just seeing how God works not only your life, sometimes you think, oh, God's really doing this thing, I'm just waiting for this thing for him to do in my child's life, and then you realize, you know, he's working on me right now. And so maybe he's waiting on me, not them. And so just, yeah, it's such a privilege to get to do this, you know, to, like, that God gave us the honor of stewarding these lives. So still learning quite a lot.
So much of what we think are the kids' lessons really are God teaching us. I shared earlier, I think it's kind of funny, we joke about it in our household, God, I taught first grade. God waited until all four of my kids were past first grade, and he's like, now you can homeschool and you can't use any of your skills. They're all past that. So it was like, I had to really, truly, it wasn't on my own, you know, my training, it was relying on him and trusting him, and that was a big leap of faith for us, at least for me. I think my husband was like, yeah, just do it. You know, so that was just trusting that God would, you know, equip me for what we needed to do, equip the kids for learning in the situation we had to do that in. Just pushing us outside of our comfort zone because this is what we feel is right for our family at this point in time. So it's definitely been humbling, it's been stretching. I don't think I've grown in patience, but they've definitely been tested. So, yeah, a lot.
God has taught me to never say never, because when I started the journey of school, I had said I would never, one of the options above. That obviously I've done all three of them now. So, just knowing that God is in control and that what we might think is the perfect plan is not necessarily the perfect plan, and to be open to changes and to your individual child, because as we've discussed, like, different kids need different things, and so you might go one path with one kid and a different path with another. So God has taught me so much in general of being a mom, but especially the last 4 years with school. And so much of it is just that God is in control, and to lean on him and not try to take control myself.
Yes.
I guess I would just also add one other thing is it can reveal your idols. Because, like I kind of insinuated with that first story, you know, my goal was to produce a very, very academically rigorous, you know, person or impressive, you know, and that was like an idol, really. And so I think God used all those other things to reveal that and to remove that. One other thing I had written down I wanted to say was, as you are talking about this, obviously it's something you and your husband want to be on the same page with, and I've known a lot of times where there is disagreement, and I would just encourage, you know, depending on the situation, to really pray about it, and then have conversations with your husband, and to just be ready for the unexpected, or, you know, maybe something that you haven't planned. And I mean, there's been years where either one of us have deferred to the other one for various reasons, and you know, and so it's been, so that was one other thing I wanted to add on.
Just want to add one more thing, kind of on a tangent, but sometimes what we think we really want to do and what we feel like God wants us to do is not necessarily something we're able to do. So if you're working full time and you really have a heart for homeschooling, it's not necessarily impossible, but it's going to be really hard. So you might not get to have what you think is your first choice. And just, I want to remind you and encourage you that God is in the public schools. He is in your home when you're homeschooling. He's in the private schools. So he's not I mean, we're not like taking him out of the picture in anything we do. He can handle the craziest classroom in the craziest school. And he can use whatever situation you're in and your family's in for his glory and for your children's good. And so this is a big decision. Pray about it, think about it. But what you decide for kindergarten or first grade or even, you know, your senior year in high school is not the only thing that you have to do. And he will use anything. And so even, you know, I don't love sending my junior to her school every day, but at the same time, she's leading a Bible study in the largest school in Virginia. And so there is a small light, but there is a light there. And God will use that. And sometimes I really don't love homeschooling my children, and I don't know if they're actually getting anything from it. But God can still use that too. And so we just need to make sure we're not putting ourselves in the place of God, because we're making a lot of big decisions. And yeah, like he can use any situation, and he will.
Thank you each for just sharing your hearts and the journey, because each of those have been very different and unique and maybe ever changing since you know, like swapping out every other year. But I just want to, we'll just pray actually for you guys and your families, and all of ours will be in the thick of this in the next couple of years, but most of us still have them that are not in that age group yet. So we'll pray for yours, and then we'll have a little bit of time at our tables for your prayer requests and a little discussion. You have time for that as well. So we'll pray. Lord, thank you so much for the Pinkston, Scott, and Luck families, Lord, the gift they are to this church, the gift that each of these women are to their families, Lord. I thank you that they clearly have shown that you are in control and guiding their steps in these huge decisions, Lord. I just pray for each of their kids in different walks of education, Lord. We have kindergarten all the way through college age. Between these three moms, Lord, and I just thank you for their devotion to their family and for their hearts for education and for their kids really knowing you, Lord. That's the most important thing. So I just pray for each of them as moms, as homeschooling parents, as private school parents, and public school, Lord. I pray that each of their kids can be in a light in whatever situation that they're in, Lord, and I thank you just for their willingness to share here tonight. We lift up this time to you in your name, amen.